Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Tzadi Menachos 90. In our previous pages of the Talmud, we've discussed that there are different size measures that were needed to be used in the temple. So today's Daf Yomi, our mission discusses whether or not the measures that were used, they were referring to a heaping measure, whether the measure was supposed to be on the material that was added to the measure was supposed to go on top of the rim, or if it was supposed to be a flat measure and not go above the rim. So says our Mishnah, Kol Midos Shebemikdash, all the measures in the temple, Hayunit Gashos, there was a heaping measure, meaning to say the measure was supposed to go above the rim. And so that's what they were referring to, with the exception of the measure of the Kohen Gadol, Shehaya God Shel Socha. That was not a heaping measure. The heaping measure was flat. The measure of the Kohen Gadol's Chavit and the Mincha that the Kohen Gadol brought, that was measured flat against the top of the utensil and didn't go above it. However, says our Mishnah, Midas Halach, when they were measuring utensils of liquid measures in the temple, Birut Seyen, then we say under those circumstances that their Birut Seyen were Kodesh, that meaning to say that the liquid was supposed to go slightly above the rim. However, and whatever went above the rim, that was going to be considered to be sacred. However, when it comes to the Midas Ayavesh, when it comes to the dry utensils, that was going to be whole. When it comes to the dry utensils, whatever went above the rim, that was not going to be considered holy. It was going to be considered to be not holy. So this seems to be like a little bit of an argument with the first position in the Mishnah, which suggests that whatever went above the rim was holy, where here we're saying that when it comes to the liquid, whatever went above was holy, whereas when it comes to the dry measures, whatever went above is not considered holy. So there are different ways to understand that dispute. But rather than go into that, I want to refer to a Mishnah that's cited from Masechta Shkalim at the bottom of our Daf Yomi. And the Mishnah states, Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim, Motar Nesachim L'Kayetz HaMizbeach, that the remnants of the Nesachim, the leftover of the Nesachim, goes to the Kayetz of the Mizbeach. What are these terms that we're talking about? So our Gemara is going to explain, is going to clarify that there's a dispute between two different opinions as to what exactly is the Mosar Nesachim. That first, the leftover Nesachim. There, Rechia Bar Yosef says that these are the Beirutzei Midos, that these are the heaping measures, meaning to say that the temple would purchase something, and when they would purchase something, they would be getting the measure, and it would be a heaping measure. So if the temple would buy an Isaron, it would come as a heaping measure of it, and that will be brought for the Nesachim, for the libation. So if they brought a heaping measure of wine or a heaping measure of flour or oil, and so therefore it will be bought as a heaping measure. However, when they would bring it, they would not bring it as a heaping measure. They would bring it as a flat measure, and so therefore there would be a difference, and that difference is what we're referring to. What would they do with this leftover difference? That's the way Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says, and that would go to the Kayetz HaMizbeach, which we'll come back to in a moment. As opposed to Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion, no, where do we get these leftover Nesachim from? Where do we get this leftover? So he says, Ka'osa Shashanino, like this is something which we've discussed elsewhere. We learned about this elsewhere, and we ourselves learned it together in Baba Metzia, that when the temple would buy something, the temple would always be considered to have the upper hand, meaning to say that, let's say, the treasurer of the temple would go to a person and say, I'm going to buy flour, and the flour would be at that rate, you would get 4 measures of flour. So under those circumstances, if for a specific amount of money, you would get, for example, arba son for the selah, that for each selah, that each coin that you gave, you would get 4 measures of flour. So when they cut that deal, if that's the case, and then it went down to only 3 son, you would still have to give the temple the 4 son. However, if when you cut the deal with the person who is selling you the flour, the treasurer goes and makes a deal with him, at that time it was 3 seah, and then it went up to 4 seah, then Rabbi Yochanan says, say, citing the Gemara from Bamitzia, though indeed at that point you still have to give the temple the four seah, even though when you cut the deal it was three seah, because we have a fundamental principle that sheyad hektish al aliona, that the temple always gets the upper hand. And so if the price goes down, that's absorbed by the merchant, and if the price goes up, it's also absorbed by the merchant. And so meaning to say that the temple will always gain. If the temple will get the more flour if the price goes down, and the temple won't be hit with less flour if the price goes up. And so that is the distinction. Those are the two approaches to what the Moser Nesachim is. One approach is that it says we're talking about that this is the leftover Nesachim, the distinction between the heaping versus the flat measures. And the other distinction is the other approach of Rabbi Yochanan says that we're talking about whether or not the if there's price fluctuation, whether or not the temple has to absorb it. And the answer is the temple doesn't absorb the loss. The temple just gets the gains, and the merchants get all the losses, but none of the gains. So what is this Kayetz HaMizbeach? We're saying that the leftover remnants goes to the Kayetz HaMizbeach. So our Gemara tells us what the Kayetz HaMizbeach is. Kayetz Zemahu, what is this? Olas, that these Kayetz, this leftover, all the leftover money, you use it to purchase animals to be brought as olos, as sacrificial offerings. Habasar L'Hashem, the meat goes to the temple. V'oros L'Kohanim, and the hide goes to the Kohanim. What is the concept behind this Kayetz HaMizbeach? We're taking the leftover money from the libations and the offerings and using it to buy olos. So the printed Rashi, which is not the Rashi of the manuscript, but the printed Rashi says that k'she'ein shem karbanos k'day shelo yeh mizbeach batel, that there's this concept that we never want the altar to be left empty. So even if there are no sacrifices being brought, then we have to fill up these sacrifices, fill up the altar. And this is to say that the temple should always have something burning for the purpose of Hashem. There always has to be a fire within us burning at every moment. There can never be emptiness on the altar.